It is 6:02 on a Thursday. Triple in for Tiffany. I'm supposed to be here tomorrow, but I ain't doing no more back-to-backs.
I'm out.
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I'm out. Well, not doing it.
All right, Joel Embiid.
Embiid.
You do that. Yeah. That's what some people call him.
Let's leave. Let's just have a Friday Squidbilly monologue show.
Oh,
let's
you
just
guys,
let him just talk.
Let me
for
tell
three
you something.
Oh,
not only is this city not ready
for that.
Is there
a can of bleach I can drink?
This world is not ready for that. you might be smarter and better off for it if you got 3 hours of me nonstop.
Imagine, well, Rob does on the flyover. I was going to say, imagine Squid doing the flyover. You know, where you and Rob, you're so good at this on the flyover, man. You throw up your own soft toss and then you knock it out of the park. You know what I mean? That's the art of monologue radio. And you have,
yep.
you have
I've done a lot of monologue radio, my
you
friend.
You do. And you have really made it look like an art. You know, it's the whole, hey, did Matthew Bergeron play well today? He did play well today. I saw him.
Is that what
it's
I do?
It's the soft toss and then knock it out of the park. Of course he did.
Unlike most public speakers, I don't need a teleprompter. I can go off the cuff. So I don't know.
I had a teleprompter. I've seen
that computer screen in front of you.
Is that what it is?
Oh, I'm reading. I read. I script my show and read it. Good Lord, sir. Well, gentlemen, I got to tell you. Last night, I looked at watching the Hawks as a burden. I would have rather have watched a Lifetime movie because there's nothing I hate more than October NBA basketball.
Really?
But I got to tell you, I liked what I saw. I still think this team's probably destined for play-in, but, you know, you never know. But there are some new pieces. Trey seems like he's playing unburdened. He looked amazing last night, Dishon. Yeah. I think that is an unburdened thing when the other guy is gone. So
was it a corrective emotional experience for all?
It was, just for one night, though, one night only. It remains to be seen. I don't know. We'll see.
I said this. I want to get your take. I said this the other day. I feel that the vibe for Trey is a good one because he does feel unburdened by the exit of not only John Collins but DeJounte Murray as well. It's finally his team. I think it appears from everything I can see from the outside looking in, he's trying to take Zachary Richichet under his wing, so to speak, and kind of build that relationship. And Jalen Johnson is continuing to grow. So I do feel like for the first time since he's been here, not only does he maybe feel the leader, but he's kind of taking that step towards being the leader as far as on the court and off.
I hope so. So we don't have to resume the typical debates we started having in February about this typical team.
We had that in December last year.
Yeah. It started as early as December. Yeah. I got to tell you, Zachary Richichet, what he came in the game, what, about 4 minutes left in the first quarter, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're about
immediately
right.
Hit his first three. Went one for his first six, but assertive, aggressive, seemed comfortable out there, and finished up with 7 points, and Trey was amazing last night, dishing and scoring. 30 and 12 for him. And how about Onyeka Okongwu? 28 points, 8 rebounds, playing like a man possessed, a demon-possessed Atlanta Hawk, my friend.
Yeah, and let's go back to Richichet for a minute because I know that's kind of the headliner. I didn't have a problem with the fact that he's not a starter, and I know that people look at it and go, how you have a number one overall pick that's not a starter on day one?
Work his way into it.
Fine. Okay, we knew that he wasn't maybe a plug-and-play right off the bat. I'm fine with it. I know that a couple people on the socials were a little bit up in arms. It is what it is. If he's not comfortable, then who cares? You're playing the Brooklyn Nets, by the way, who.
Nothing's expected of them.
The preseason NBA rankings have them at number 29. So you were a 6-point favorite. It's pretty simple. Hawks hit their free throws last night. This is a Vegas cover in a double digit win, and yet they don't and can't pull away when they're supposed to. But I didn't have a problem with Richichet starting the game on the Pine. You mentioned it, comes in, shoots. Here's what I'll say about
kid's 19. He's not even going to be 20 till like April 8th.
And where did he finish? I think he finished 2 of 9, shooting.
7 points.
2 of 8, yeah.
2 of 8. He was not afraid to shoot, though.
No.
And I think sometimes when you talk about a guy that young that's got that much expected of him in their first game in the NBA, you're like, man, he's going to be hesitant. Nah, he was like, I'm going to let it fly. Glass, the bank is open.
I tell you who I like, Dyson Daniels.
Very
disruptive defensively. He was every bit as good as I would think defensively. Anything you get from him offensively is a bonus. 15 points last night.
I also like a guy that gets fouled hard, who doesn't.
Oh, Nick Claxton almost decapitated
him. Yeah, and he didn't stand up and wait for his teammates to go fight for him. He went right after Nick Claxton.
And the tail of the tape does not favor Dyson Daniels.
No.
But he still got up on him, though.
Well, that's what I like. I mean, I like
yes,
the physicality.
Yes, a little feisty,
Yeah, I like attitude. I mean, that's what – look, how many times have we talked about this team and since the run, and we've heard either the coach or a player say, well, yeah, you know, we just didn't have the energy or the passion or we weren't giving it our all, whatever. And you didn't see that when a guy pops up, and he's been – a little bit of, I don't want to say a disappointment, but his career hasn't gotten off to the start after being the 8th overall pick in 2022 that he wanted to be so far. And so I thought he got off to a good start here. And maybe this is, look, we got how many first-round picks we had in the starting lineup last night? Or on the floor at any point last night?
Yeah.
This is a deeper team, a little bit more athletic, bigger, hopefully better defensively, which is, it seems so.
If just do yourself a favor, go randomly pull up the box score at some point today, and you look, and you see, man, this team quietly looks way deeper than it's looked in years.
Yep.
Yeah, and what's crazy is, like, I don't think anybody expected that when DeJounte was traded that you would feel that way about this roster. You know what I mean? You bring in Larry Nance, and obviously him not getting any burn last night. Kobe Bufkin still dinged up, so you have Vic Krejci handling the ball. When Trey's off the floor, I thought was really, one of the more interesting things last night. But you're right. I mean, I expected Dyson Daniels to be a difference maker defensively, and I love, obviously being able to do that. But I thought his ball handling skills were way better than I imagined they would be. For a guy that hasn't watched him play that much, he was making, he was doing some good things on the offensive side of the floor too. So I'm just bullish, man. Like, it just felt like things were you win a game that you probably don't shoot your best. You definitely didn't shoot your best from the free throw line, and yet you're able to beat a team that you're supposed to beat down the stretch. Trey, to your point, this is how you're supposed to look in game one of an NBA season. I thought he looked explosive.
Yep.
Like, fresh,
well, the whole team
springy,
running explosive.
Like, he looked like a guy playing in the first game of the year, and that's what you're supposed to say. Like, I was like, man, he looked as explosive as I've seen him in a while. So that was nice to see, obviously.
Can we get anything from DeAndre Hunter, though, before the inevitable 2 months on the disabled list?
Well, we're going to have to if Reza Shea is not going to be on the floor to start these games. I mean, I told Dylan this yesterday when we were talking about it. I fully expect DeAndre to start the first 20, 30 games, and that should transition into Reza Shea once he's more comfortable. But I'm with you. I mean, like, right now, you kind of need that guy to be something. When we talk about the first-round picks and the talent on the floor, that's got to be one of them, right? Well, I mean, that's got to be a guy we talk about.
I think that's unfair. DeAndre Hunter had more points than fouls last night, and you should be happy with that. He almost –
that's progress.
And he even had more rebounds than fouls. So, look, he's – what are you going to do? Part of my NBA season – new season kickoff, tip-off resolution is to not complain about the exact same things that I've complained about in the years past. DeAndre Hunter's on that list.
That's a good resolution.
I have moved on from DeAndre Hunter complaining because if you're still complaining, and I know you're not really complaining, Rob, but if you're still complaining about what DeAndre Hunter isn't, and that's you just are refusing to accept what it is, and you've drafted his replacement.
I was going to say that they're aware of it.
So
obviously.
Yeah. So let's move on. Let's all grow beards with Trey.
Yeah, that makes him look like he's 37 years
old.
I love it.
I also love beard Trey.
I like beard Trey.
Yeah.
There's a joy in beard Trey.
Rob, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Bo and I watched some of the preseason buildup videos that the Atlanta Hawks had put out, and it was like kind of documentary style through training camp. Followed them to the Atlanta Falcons game when they were all there. And they made a cameo on the big board. It was against the Chiefs. And the conversation between Trey and Zachary Risacher while they're at the game, kind of like a filmed from a distance. And, the camera's 40 yards away, but he's mic'd up and you can hear Trey talking. We don't usually get that insight into Trey Young. Yep. We don't usually get to hear the conversations that Trey has with the younger players. And
we haven't seen much about his personality.
Well,
just
and I
the
don't
bad
know,
things.
I don't know that the conversations have always – I don't know that they haven't sounded like that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like a a mature leader version of Trey, to where he's talking to Zach and he's saying, you know, you'll get comfortable this. I envision this. And this is like in the tunnel at Mercedes-Benz. And he's like, this is what I envision for you. I envision you being a scorer. This is a basketball town. Like, these people will love you. You know, if we're a good team, they'll show up, this, that, and the other. And I thought it was great, man. I thought it was great insight, something we haven't seen much. And I'm on board, man. Like I've been saying all week, I'm ready to be heard again.
Real quick before we go to break, you know who was heard last night? Was Kennesaw State. Got their first FBS win. First time they've beaten a Division I team in 2 years as well. They beat Liberty. I think Liberty was like a 27-point favorite or something, Rob. They were on a 17-game win
streak. Wish I'd have put a hundy on that.
Yeah, dude, you'd have made some money. We know you'd have been buying breakfast this morning.
I'd be buying breakfast.
But
now you get nothing because I didn't bet.
Shout out to Kennesaw State, though. Beating their first FBS win. Hoo-de-hoo! Breaking a winless. It's also the first time in 23 years a team 0-5 or worse defeated a team 5-0 or better. How about that?
Well, so Charlie Brown finally kicked the football, and the Coyote finally caught the Roadrunner, and Kennesaw State finally wins the game.
They're going to be dominant. You just watch out. It's on now.
Vegas, by the way, over-under Hawks wins, 36.5? Hopefully they'll be better than
that. 35.5 more.
Yikes.
I think they're going to be a little better than that. Maybe we can scratch and claw towards a 6, 7, or 8 seed, not do the play-in. But a good start for the Hawks.
41-41, here we come.
Boy, Tampa Bay devastated by injuries. It sucks when you lose your number one receiver and then you lose your number two receiver as well. But Tampa Bay may have something to say on Sunday. Falcons, Buccaneers. How are the Buccaneers going to defend the Falcons? How are the Falcons to defend the Buccaneers? Defensive-minded segment coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow. Yes, I will do the back-to-back. I've decided. Well, gentlemen, Hawks get a win to open the season last night. Yes. DeJounte Murray may have fractured his hand in his Pelicans debut. Wow.
That's rough, man.
That's kind of rough.
Sounds like a New Orleans problem to me.
Sounds like a New Orleans problem to me. And Mike Evans, and he's got that bad hamstring issue. And, they're going to be down two of their receivers, their two best receivers, and, of course, Chris Godwin as well. That's a Tampa Bay problem,
right it is.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah.
That was bad, too, because that was a beautiful pass by Baker to Mike Evans. You just saw when it locked up because he had it right in his fingertips. And that bolt of lightning you feel when your hammy hurts, like, ugh.
Well, he was and he was playing through pain.
He was already dinged up with it, dealing with it, yeah.
He went out there trying to play. I mean, in all seriousness, you know, I don't know any way to talk about Mike Evans other than complimentary – and just almost sound like a crush. Like Mike Evans, when you draft a player, every year in April, when you get excited about a guy getting drafted to your team, you wish, pray, hope, whatever it is you do to put that feeling in the atmosphere, that they turn into a Mike Evans. Which is the epitome of a professional.
Is he like unheralded like Larry Fitzgerald kind of was? Kind of underappreciated?
Way more. Because
you could say that about Larry Fitzgerald, too.
You could, but I felt like Larry Fitzgerald always had, and correct
kind of got his bouquets.
Yeah, I
think you're right. Probably a little bit more.
Yeah, and everyone kind of.
About where they play, but yeah.
But I thought he got more love nationally than Mike Evans does. I think Mike Evans is.
Oh, he's Hall of Fame.
Easily been one of the top five receivers since he stepped in the league, yet no one ever wants to give him that love, and all he does is perform.
I believe there's only one active player, I think I heard this yesterday, that has more yards receiving than Mike Evans right now. And I might even have those names flip-flopped, but that guy was traded to the Chiefs yesterday. Mm-hmm. So DeAndre Hopkins is definitely another guy but I think it's this, man. In my opinion, it's Mike Evans is in Tampa. It's in, you know, smaller market team, not in a national spotlight, and he's been there his whole career. Where at least DeAndre Hopkins is bounced around a little bit. You get headlines like yesterday where you start to notice things like that. Mike Evans was a nobody, well, in a lot of people's eyes, and then Tom Brady comes down there. It's like, oh, yes, Mike Evans guy is pretty good. Won the Super Bowl. And then it kind of just gone back that way where everybody that sees him play is like, oh, my gosh. And yet at the same time, to both of y'all's point, nationally, it just doesn't seem like it's ever there.
Could you guess how many touchdowns you think Mike Evans has in his career off the top of your head? Not you, Mike. I know you got it in front of you.
100?
You got it in front of you, too?
No.
Yeah, exactly 100 touchdowns. He's got 13 against the Falcons. But since 2014, when he was drafted, he's got just a hair under 800 catches for 12,000 yards and 100 touchdowns. He's already got six this year. I mean, if he plays another 5 years, he'll have 18,000 yards receiving.
He'll play five more years?
I said if. I mean, I don't know. But if he did.
Well, you know, he was also looking at another milestone. What is it, 11 consecutive years, 1,000 yards receiving, tying Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
That's in jeopardy now with a hamstring injury.
But you mentioned
that. That's something he's actually cognizant of. He's like, yeah, I would love to have that
one. Oh, yeah.
He really prides himself on that one.
But you mentioned how many, DeAndre Hopkins. Well, DeAndre Hopkins, though, has forced his way out of places. Even when he got bad in Tampa, Mike Evans kept his head down and just kept producing. It didn't matter if it was Jameis or whoever was throwing, playing quarterback for him in his career. He just has produced every single year.
We're going to move on from the Mike Evans conversation, but to your point, I thought last offseason that he would be going somewhere else, looking to find a payday and maybe win to close out his career. I think he signed, 3-year deal this offseason? And you're like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, I mean, Buccaneers for life. And I think that's
sometimes guys are just happy where they are.
Yeah, and look, man, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Tampa, but it's a pretty good place to live. You know what I mean? Like, pretty good place to live aside from the natural disasters. Yeah. So, but that's a cool spot to live. And to everybody's point, to wrap that up, like, I'm sad for him that he's hurt, but man, it doesn't pain me not to have to see him line up with the Falcons in a huge game.
Especially coming off what we saw on Sunday. That was just so disappointing. How do you quantify it? It's just something about it. And I like what you said. I'm not going to question effort. But sometimes, and I even noticed this in my little mediocre baseball career, some days the energy just isn't there for whatever reason. Yeah. You can't quantify it. It's something in another dimension that's affecting you. It was just, even all the way, you said it was kind of a dead atmosphere in there on Sunday. A buddy of mine went to the game on Sunday. He says, man, it was like a wake in here.
We were in a commercial and I looked out and they were playing, they're doing what they normally do, the stuff that normally gets the crowd gets rocking. People were just sitting there. And I was like, boy,
the crowd went mild.
Third down.
Yeah. And you're like, and you hear
a little polite.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, man, and
it was
and
rough.
Listen, the nest over there, and still like always, shout out to those guys. They were, and we've kind of kicked it around, Rob, like what the reasoning was. I think there's like a number of different things you can point to. First of all, we've played a lot of primetime games this year, and that was like a 1 o'clock. The roof, I love the fact the roof was open, but there was something sleepy about the sun kind of shining on that side of the stadium, kind of beating down a little bit, and also. Look at what the night before was for a lot of these fans, the Georgia fans and that.
Right.
I also feel like there is a ton, at this point, there's a ton of non-Falcons fans that hold season tickets, like corporate whatever, that if they can't get rid of their tickets, they just go unused. You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to sell them to the Steelers and Cowboys fans. the Seahawks fans aren't going to fly down here, like whatever. So that was frustrating. It definitely was, but there are games like that in the NFL. It's frustrating because obviously you need to win those games. I think Raheem kind of talked about that yesterday in his coach's show with Dukes and Bell. But at the same time, it's like how many times do we see college football coaches like, this atmosphere, man, if you can't get up for this, you might be dead. You know what I mean? And you realize over the course of an entire NFL season, it's like, it's just different. You know what I mean? These guys are have families at home. It's 17 games. It's not a poor me thing. It's just, it's hard. You're cognizant of it. But sometimes it can still be hard to kind of hit that next gear.
Well, going to Tampa, the energy is going to be good. I can tell you that. They do a pretty good job with their fans are pretty good down there. Normally, when they're good, they're up. And they're going to be up because, it's a first place. It's a first-place matchup. The division's on the line, could be on the line, really, Sunday. And the thing that scares me is you look at the injury report yesterday, and you can talk about their injuries all they want. I don't give a damn who on their team is injured. What I care about is ours. And Matthew Bergeron practices yesterday, full participant, which is great news. I mean, that is the best news they could get. Problem was, the guy that didn't practice yesterday because of injury is one that scares me. That's Ryan Neuzel. and his knee, and he got rolled up a little bit in that one of the scrums that I think Algier was the one running the ball, and that's not his fault, but it ended up being a scrum. Came off. He ended up coming back in. But, look, I love Matt Hennessy. I think Matt Hennessy, if injuries don't get in the way, he could probably be the starting center of this team and not Drew Dahlman. But I'm scared, man. I get scared when I see Vita Vea coming at us because Vita Vea is a
– Isn't he hobbled a bit, though? Like everybody else, I would imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let me – I don't know. This is a good question for Mike because I think it's his hamstring. Does the hamstring really hamper a guy 6'5", 350 pounds? What is that?
It was just a steamroller. Yeah, he's not having to do a whole lot laterally.
What is his top speed on his GPS tracker? 4?
You know what I mean? I know the burst, right? I get it, but.
Yeah, I think it actually, I don't know this, but here's what I think, and I've always thought as far as defense linemen go, it hurts your ability to anchor more than anything, right? It's not really so much firing off because I don't think you have that long kind of flex where your leg is getting fully extended a lot of times the way, you know, that bothers your hamstring. But sometimes I do think it's your ability to anchor on double teams, which is obviously a huge deal for him. But look, man, he's the kind of guy that's long in the tooth enough to where you'd say, you know, he's going to get those veteran rest days sprinkled in anyways. And so when I look at, you know, practice reports and things like that, I'm like, you know, Vita Vea is I think he's just one of those guys that he's going to show up and ball out on Sunday regardless of what kind of reps he gets. He doesn't have – and that's the beauty of what Vita Vea does. He doesn't have this, like, in-depth scouting report where he has to, like, recognize all these formations. You know what I mean? Like, he's the kind of guy that the guy behind him, Levante David, is going to say, hey, man, trips left. And he's going to shift over about 2 feet. And you know what I mean? He's like that's just what he is. So,
his job's to napalm the three guys in front of him, basically.
It's not – so like he's not the kind of guy that's going to have to step in and you know, switch off coverages in a pattern-matching scheme. It's like, dude, I'm going to anchor this A-gap, probably swat somebody in the head and see if I can get in the backfield. And so that's – I think if you're a Buccaneers fan and you're looking at Vita Vea's health, it's like it is what it is.
Well,
you know what I mean?
For whatever it's worth, he was not on the injury report yesterday at all. So – they might be without Tyke Smith and Payne Durham, one of the backup tight ends. But, you know, William Golston, it was limited. Bucky Irvin not practicing is a good thing. Not for them, but they have found a little bit of a three-headed monster in the running game, Rob. They ran for 160 yards against us last time. They want to run the ball. I think that this their offense might literally turn in a little bit of a ground and pound against us and then use that to open up the passing game.
This game is not going to look anything like the one a few weeks ago.
Probably
this
not.
This might be some old-fashioned slobber knocker thing, right?
And Rod kind of talked about it on Dukes and Bell yesterday. He said, hey, I have all the faith in the world that Todd's going to look at the holes that were there last time, and they won't be there this time.
All right, coming up, Tua didn't retire, but this college quarterback at a major school has decided to hang it up. It's coming up next in some college football. Get back into the Falcons as well. Hawks 1-0 after winning last night over Brooklyn. Yay. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 again. Oh, going to be hyped in Blacksburg on Saturday. Noon kickoff, Battle of Tex. They can't spell tech up there, though. They spell it with a K.
I'm still mad that the Falcons don't come out to this song anymore. This is
the most
so
cold-blooded entrance in college football.
I remember seeing Mike Johnson run out to this song one time.
Just let it percolate. Let it percolate.
I was going to say, man. I don't even want, like, what were we going to talk about? I don't even know. Like I'm so in the moment right now because I'm just picturing that big blow-up tunnel with the flames shooting towards the sky in the Georgia Dome.
Then the couch is burning after the game. And tortured cars.
Like, used to run out of things, feel like you got your eyebrows singed off.
You know they won't let them do that no more? You can't use fire anymore? Once,
why?
Because
fire good.
Like just here or in the NFL?
In the NFL. Somebody caught one of their mascots on fire. And I can't remember. I'll Google it real quick. Before the segment's over, right. I'll give you guys a full story. But somebody caught one of their – it was a couple of years ago. We were already in Mercedes-Benz. And it was only a couple of years ago, but somebody's mascot caught on fire or something and on the sideline because of the flame. And they said, all right, well, you guys got to do, like, this is, like, stupid-ass, like, puff smoke now. It's just kind of –
That stinks.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Hawks get a win last night in their opener. Got, what, Charlotte on Friday. Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech at noon. Georgia's off this weekend. Atlanta United.
Let's go.
Where did that come from?
Let's go.
I just, they were an afterthought to me. And they go up there to Montreal, get the victory. Mike Conti talking trash to the fans up there.
Those, God, wasn't
those smelly French people. Hairy armpitted broads
what
up there.
What was the word, Bo, the other day? Poutine?
Poutine.
Poutine?
Yeah, we went up there, ate their poutine, and sent them home early. That's what we did. That's what we did.
Okay. Well, if you don't... A lot of relationships have ended for lack of eating.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Calm down. Dylan. I was like, dude, I'm not going there. Of course, Rob does.
Dylan, you got to be listening. I'm ready for it. Rob is here. Tiffany's not here. Rob is going to say something that will all get us banned. By the way.
Ding.
Real quick, it wasn't I was wrong.
On him.
The mascot did not catch on fire, but they did catch the field on fire is what it was.
Is that what it was?
It was in Tennessee. And they ended up banning it temporarily, but then they banned it completely. But yeah, they were bringing back, they were retiring Eddie George and the late Steve McNair's jersey a couple years ago, and flame shot horizontally from one of the units and caught the field on fire. They got it put out, but no way it was injured. But then the NFL has since banned it.
One of the most epic rivalries in NFL history, Eddie George, Ray Lewis.
Dude.
You know, Eddie George is sneaky, sneaky big.
There's nothing sneaky about it.
I mean, I know he's barely taller than Abe Gordon, but
stop.
And Chris Thomas, but you know, he is 6'5".
Let's have this conversation. How tall is Abe Gordon?
Abe Gordon is, if he's 5'10".
Okay, so
5 foot nothing, 100 nothing.
This is what happened, Rob. I'm talking.
It's a miracle.
Somehow the name of Eddie George comes up. Me and Abe Gordon are standing there. And he goes, you know, Eddie George is big. And I was like, yeah, he's a good size. You know, he's I said, I don't know if he's Derrick Henry big, but he's big, you know, big running back. He goes, he's probably your height.
No.
And I looked at him, I go, dude, I'm every bit of like 6'6". Like, there's no way Eddie George is my height. He's like, from where I'm standing, he kind of steps back and looks at me and goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he's 6'3". Eddie George, 6'3".
I know, but and that's what my thing was. I guess I was like, Abe, Abe being 5'10", I'm like, I don't know if the angle's just weird
and
for you looking at me.
I might have given him an inch, too, because I don't think he's 5'10". Yeah, I think he might be 5'10" with lifts in his shoes.
Well, guys, this is kind of sad. I remember a good buddy of mine in college playing football. I had no hope of going to the NFL. He's a good player, though. He had to stop playing. Too many concussions. Well, that's the case with NC State's quarterback, Grayson McCall. Done. Another concussion. Can't play no more. Finished.
It's unfortunate. I think it's a new reality for a lot of people, and you've started to see it happen more and more. I mean, like, I was reading the other day about Luke Kuechly. Kind of the conversation. He was on Dale Jr.'s podcast.
I saw that. That was excellent.
The Dale Jr. download.
Dale Jr. does such a good job with those interviews, and he's had Chipper on. He's had a number of you know, athletes that have these conversations.
Greg
and Dale
Olson.
Dealt with it. Yeah, Dale dealt with it himself.
Yep.
At the end of his career, I mean, he would sit out. You know, I don't know, sit out a couple months of like one of his final NASCAR seasons. And reading, you know, Dale's book, his conversation with himself always was, I got to the track. And he would basically start writing down how he felt, and it was, I feel like I've had 3 beers. I feel like I've had 4 beers. Oh. And his guy, you know, his doctor would tell him, all right, if that's the scale you're going to use, I want you to write that down every week. Every time you go to the track, I want
not,
you to
not
say.
Not in a good way.
Not in a, yeah. Like,
in a way, I'm going
like
200 miles an hour.
I feel like I have a slight buzz. Like my, you know, my eyesight's not focusing in quick enough.
Dale, how do you feel? Well, Doc, I feel like I had 4 buds.
Right. And that was
the
funny part of it is like, it's not funny, but Dale, the guy was like, if that's the scale you're going to use, I want you to write it down every single time.
That's
I know.
A good scale, though.
So he's like, dude, one time, you know, got in a slight accident and it was like, man, I feel like I've had 6 beers. And then it was like, you know what? I feel like I've had a beer today. I feel like I've had 4 beers. So the conversation between Luke Kuechly and him was very interesting because Luke's like, I think it happened, you know, the year before he retired, maybe, and he just got in the locker room. He goes, man, I've had a number of concussions. I don't know how many more times I can do this. And so it's unfortunate, man, just to bring it all back around. It happens. The Tua conversation is going to be ongoing. I'm terrified for Tua personally because he's one of my favorite college players of all time.
Yep.
To where the point where, like, when I'm watching a Miami game, I'm going to be like, holy crap, you know, hit the floor. But that's his personal decision. But I don't mind the NC State quarterback saying, hey, it is what it is, man. If you don't think you have a future in the sport and, you know, you don't like where you're at as far as your health, then what kind of decision is it?
Hey, what do you guys think about this news coming out with Oregon State and Washington State? So next year they're going to play each other twice because of the scheduling, because they're still trying to get the new Pac-12 together, which will start in 2026. Because of a hole in their scheduling, they're going to play once on November 1st with Oregon State hosting, and then again on November 29th in the regular season finale with Washington State hosting. Yeah. So it's going to be a very NFL-type thing for them. I mean,
What I would do.
I don't like it.
Here's what I would do.
I don't either.
The November 29th game, I would just straight up call it the Pac-12 championship. And I would just put banners all over the field. I'd paint the field.
Just market it that
Pac-12
way.
Championship game. It's the end of the season. You're like, let's see if we can crown a champion today.
Well, what if you do this? What if you call both of them the Pac-12 championship game and you do it like
aggregate?
Aggregate. So whoever had the aggregate score wins, right? Hey, man. Well, look. We know.
Like soccer.
Can you imagine?
That's the whole point. Like, make it fun. Be like, hey, what do you have to lose?
Can you imagine the situational football being played at the end of that? Like, where you're not in the 2 minute drill. Like, you're losing, but you're in 4 minute mode. Like,
yeah.
You're down by 10, but you're running the ball and you're kneeling on
it. Take a kneel down. Yeah, coach, you're losing.
We want to lose.
Doesn't
now.
Matter. They
we
can't.
Don't want to lose by 17, only by 10.
Yeah, it doesn't
Get
matter.
The schedule. I know schedules are done years in advance, but they make. Scheduling as complicated as like the D-Day invasion. It's like, come on, can't you find somebody to plug in?
How many moving parts are there, man?
I just think it's the craziest thing. I don't know what to I think you're onto something though. Make it the Pac-12 championship, but come out and literally use the aggregate system that the MLS was using and a few years ago when Atlanta United won. Remember, Atlanta, you played two games no matter what when we won the title.
Yeah,
we played up in New York. And we beat them, I think, I can't remember, it was like 2-1 or 3-1 or something. They came down here, and all we had to do was score, like, all we had to do was have a two-goal, not let them
end
score two goals or something
Sitting
like
in
that.
In a tie, yeah.
And it was wild. And now that could be fun. That could make the games interesting.
Can you imagine Vegas trying to wrap their head around that? What's the line on a game when you're in aggregate? Like, what?
It's off the board. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, you can't talk about the Falcons without the underlying persistent narrative. Defense or lack thereof. We'll get into it. Falcons getting ready to head down to Tampa Bay for a big divisional game against the Buccaneers. It's a Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game.